Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast Impact Post Show. It is Thursday, May 4th, 2017. I am PWTorch.com's Mike McMahon with Andrew Socek, also of PWTorch.com and PWPodcast.com. Andrew, how are you tonight?
Mike, I'm doing pretty good. I enjoyed the show overall quite a bit more than most weeks, so not too bad.
Yeah, you know, they were plugging this show. I saw on their social media, on Impact social media, and also on the website, that they were sort of plugging this as a big show and one that you weren't going to want to miss. And they were hyping Eddie Edwards and Matt Sydal obviously as being a big part of that, and a couple of other components. I think EC3 was someone they advertised as well. But I was impressed with the show, and I thought it was interesting that a lot of the big matches, I mean, the Matt Morgan match against Magnus and also the Alberto El Patron and Eli Drake match, neither of those were advertised, and they still delivered, I think, a pretty good show, a really good show, with two of their top matches not even advertised.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think ideally they would have built up both of those matches. I think both of them are two of the bigger matches they can throw out. But yeah, I agree. They delivered for the most part for what they were going for.
We are going to run down the show, and we're also going to talk about it with you guys here in the PW Torch Livecast. You can give us a call at 515-605-9345. You just have to make sure you hit the number 1 on your phone if you are on hold, and that will let us know that you want to get on board and talk about this week's episode of Impact Wrestling with Andrew and I. Let's sort of run down the show, though, Andrew, and we'll get to calls in a little bit. They started the show with that Eddie Edwards and Matt Sydal match. Sydal wins in about 15 minutes in a really good match, I thought. A really hot way to start the show. And then Davey Richards and Angelina Love attack Eddie Edwards after the match put his leg up on one of the sections of guardrail and hit his knee with a steel chair. I thought this was a really good match to open the show, and I thought that the post-match angle was really good as well. I thought this opening segment, I liked everything about it.
I did too. Well, I liked the match a lot. I often compare Impact to WWE and why somebody might want to watch Impact over WWE, because that's probably what they should be going for. So this was like a cruiserweight style match that is better than 95% of what we've seen in WWE so far since they've returned. A good way to start the show. Like I keep talking about that too, how they keep mixing it up and giving us new ways to start the show. I think I'm not a big fan on Edwards losing, just like I'm not a big fan on Davey Richards getting beaten up by NFL players last week. I think that should have been saved for, you know, neither one of them should look bad until they settle their feud. But that's just me.
Yeah, excuse me. I thought that the decision to have him lose the match was interesting. And I said in the report on PWTorch.com that it must mean that they have something planned for Matt Sydal, because why would you have a guy who is right now not in a program with anybody beat a guy who might be in your hottest program, at least from a rivalry standpoint, on the show? It must mean that they have some big plans for him. And I would imagine they would, but I think it also means that this is not going to be like a Josh Barnett thing where he's in for a couple of weeks and gone. This probably means that Matt Sydal is with Impact for at least a considerable amount of time. And as I would imagine, move into some top program on the show. If he's going to get a clean win over Eddie Edwards, you know, I would think he's primed to end up in a pretty big spot on the show and on the card.
Yeah, I would really hope so, because last week he beat Trevor Lee in only a few minutes. So if he's not locked in for a long-term contract of any sort, then that's pretty foolish on their part. But I mean, he looks really good. He's great in the ring. Maybe he can catch on and help be one of the people that bring the X Division back to some sort of relevance.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I liked how they didn't start this match the way you would expect either. I think a lot of people expected these guys to just go a million miles an hour from the opening bell, because that's sort of what we think of. Well, that's the type of match we think of when you think of both these guys. But they started things almost kind of slow, and it was more of a technical wrestling match for the first couple of minutes before they really got going into some of the more fast-paced stuff. So I like that they changed that up. I also liked the post-match angle. This is actually, I'm going to give Josh Matthews some credit here. I liked that they had the announcer about to throw to a backstage interview right before Davey Richards came out. It made it feel more spontaneous, as opposed to just the camera for some reason shooting Eddie Edwards going up the ramp, which you never really see. They never really do. And then only to have that be because Davey Richards was going to come out and attack him. I like that they had it set where Josh Matthews was in the process of throwing to a backstage interview, and it got interrupted by Davey Richards coming out and attacking Eddie Edwards. I just thought that made the whole angle after the match feel a lot more spontaneous.
Yeah, I agree. It's little things like that, just little attention to details that make it feel more realistic. And overall, I'm sure we'll talk about it more, but Matthews was not good, but he had his best night, I thought, since this new era of the Borash and Matthews. Still very far from good, but more tolerable than ever.
Yeah, you know what? I'd agree. And one of the things that confused me a little bit was he didn't seem to settle on what he was. You know, I think I tweeted at one point during the show, JBL and Josh Matthews would be the most schizophrenic announce team in wrestling history, because both guys go back and forth. One second they're on the side of the babyface, the next second they're on the side of the heel. You know, he was playing up how he's best friends with EC3, and when Lashley was backstage, he was all about Bobby Lashley, two of the bigger heels in the show right now. But during this angle, after the match where Davey Richards is beating up Eddie Edwards, he's talking about how Davey Richards went too far. And, you know, I don't know if that was an effort to make what Davey Richards did look more vicious. Hey, if we have the heel announcer play up that even he thought he went too far, but he seemed to go back and forth a lot with the babyface comments, heel comments. There were several things that he just completely made up, which I think is part of his shtick. It's not something that I'm particularly a fan of, but I think at one point he referenced that he has 2 million Twitter followers, has 500,000. He was talking about Jim during the main event. He was talking about Jim Ross tweeting about how great he was on commentary tonight. Jim Ross didn't mention Impact at all. But I think that's part of the shtick. Again, it's not one that I'm a huge fan of, but it just seems to be part of what he's doing at this point.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I had made a note of that, how he was begging Davey Richards not to break Eddie Edwards' leg. Like, so he went that far, but yeah, it was like 70% he was a babyface, 30% he was a heel, and he would just throw in during random times. It's like, oh man, I sure hate Jeremy Borash. It, you know, that was all of course very tiring. And to me, I guess I'll just bring this up now. Like, Jeremy Borash came off really bad too. I just didn't want him in the arena at all, holding up signs, and I don't know. That's not doing anything for me, of course. But
yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I almost feel like we've hammered it to death at this point. Just this insistence to keep on going back to this and making it a feature part of the show is just mind-boggling. When they've got so many other things going on. I mean, just look at the matches they had on the show. Matt Sydal and Eddie Edwards and Magnus and Matt Morgan and El Patron and Eli Drake. I mean, there's so much other stuff going on in the show, and yet program was the Jeremy Borash, Josh Matthews, and Josh is behind them heckling them all night. Like, it's just, it's tiring. I don't think it's needed. I mean, I don't think you need to make one of your angles about the announcers. We've talked about it. There's plenty of other things. They've got plenty of other guys on the roster that they could be doing something with and sort of giving that time to. I'd like to see just, and I think, you know, we've talked about this a lot too, but I'd like to see Jeremy Borash as the play-by-play guy, And I'd be okay with Josh Matthews as some sort of heel manager. I think that his character in shorter doses is going to be more tolerable as a heel if he's out there for a 10 or 15 minute segment as opposed to an entire 2 hour broadcast.
Yeah, completely agree. It's just the show definitely has some positives going for it. It's fun to watch at points, but it's just hard, like, just as a wrestling fan to say to another wrestling fan, you should check out Impact, because that is still an overarching awful part of the show. It's just it's hard to get past that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I am eager to see them bring that whole thing to a close. After that opening match, they went to Siena, winning at the GFW women's title over Christina Von Erie in about 4 minutes. Interesting match here, I thought. You know, Siena won pretty quickly and clean and is now the GFW women's champion. Another topic I know we've talked about here in the show in the past, I don't know exactly why that's a big deal. You know, I don't exactly know what any of these GFW titles stand for, to be quite honest with you. You know what? The GFW titles were a big focus on this show. You had this match here. You had Magnus and Matt Morgan in a GFW title match. And then in the main event, you had El Patron and Eli Drake fighting for a GFW title shot. So that was another big component to this show, was the Global Force Wrestling titles. Are they doing anything for you? I mean, do you think that they're adding anything to the show, or the sort of the lack of meaning behind those titles, is it just sort of confusing you as much as it is confusing me?
Yes, very much more confusing than anything. It's just the best thing to do is just never have brought those titles into the fold, never merged the companies, because one of them doesn't mean anything, but if you're, then you should make it seem important. They didn't really build this up like, you know, Christy Von Erie coming in and defending this title. It was just such a throwaway segment that it's like a backyard wrestling federation championship. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, GFW in general, I mean, what really was it? If you really go back and think about it, it was kind of a company. I mean, they taped a bunch of television shows that never made air, and they ran a couple of spot shows in baseball parks a couple summers ago, and that's been it. I mean, they haven't really done anything else. So I just don't understand why they think that people would have an interest in these titles. These titles don't mean anything. I mean, it's a company that was barely ever a company, and I think, you know, They're clearly going to lead up to, I think, a unification match for the probably the world titles, probably the women's title at Slammiversary. I think that's what they're ultimately going to build towards and go to. You know, you'll see whoever the GFW champion is, probably against Bobby Lashley. But, you know, I would have been more okay with them just sort of getting rid of the titles altogether, just ignoring them. I mean, you could say we're merging the GFW rosters with the Impact rosters, but I'd almost rather them not say anything. And even if technically they are merging the rosters, just start to implement some of those guys. Congo Kong, Magnus, Chris Mordetsky or Chris Adonis. Merge some of those guys in your Impact roster. But I don't think there's any need really to bring up the fact that they were on the GFW roster or bring these titles over. They just don't mean anything. And I almost would have rather seen them just implement the newer guys, but implement them as Impact guys. I think that would have been a better way to get them on the show.
Yeah, I agree. It would be the equivalent of, like, in 6 months from now, Billy Corgan comes in with the NWA invasion and, like, Rob Conway tries to take out the world champ. Like, it's just such an app. Nobody even knows what this company is. So, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And it's going to play out in the next couple months, I'm sure, but it just should have probably never happened in the first place.
We need to take our first time out, but Andrew and I are going to be back breaking down more of this show in just a minute. You can give us a call here on the PW Torch Livecast at 515-605-9345. As we go into our first break, though, Andrew brings us our trivia questions, and our first one for this week is, when did Matt Sydal have his first TNA match ever. This was not his first run in the company, the one we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. When was his first ever TNA match? We'll have the answer to that question. More of our thoughts on tonight's show and some of your thoughts on tonight's show at 515-605-9345. You're listening to the Impact post-show edition of the PW Torch Livecast.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
Another sister website we should plug here on the show is, of course, pwpodcast.com. Andrew, I know you are working with Wade on that. Tell us a little bit about PW Podcasts before we get to the answer to our trivia question.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. PW Podcasts, over the past couple of years, just wrestling podcasts in general have exploded in popularity. There's so many of them. There's so many good ones. Bruce Pritchard, Jim Ross, Steve Austin, but there's not really enough time to listen to it all. So if you go to pwpodcast.com, you can just read the recaps of all the shows. We have like 15 different shows being covered right now, all the ones I just mentioned, many more. So you get like a couple thousand words of what they're all about, a direct link to the show, timestamps if you only want to listen to a certain part. It's just a cool place. So check it out, pwpodcast.com. I just put up X-Pac, his latest episode of X-Pac 12360. He talked to Johnny Mundo. He gives the full story of why he was arrested, Mundo's return to WWE, if he's ever considering that, and some really strange ideas that Mundo had that were shot down when he was in WWE, including a porta potty match that never went anywhere. I will give you the answer to the trivia question as well.
Yes.
Matt Sydal, his first TNA match ever. I did not know this, that he went back this far, but it was Victory Road 2004, the very first 3-hour pay-per-view they ever had. Yeah, he was in a 20-man X Division gauntlet for the gold match. He did not win, but he goes back a long ways in that company.
That's amazing. Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that at all, you know. Obviously, you know, he was at WWE for a long time, and it would have had to have been before that run. But 2004, I mean, he doesn't – I don't know how old he is. He doesn't look like he's old enough to be around 13 years ago.
That's what I thought, too, yeah. I thought he was like 32.
Yeah.
I should probably look that up. But
yeah, 34. I just got it here.
Oh, wow.
34 years old, so he would have been 21 very early on in his career.
Wow.
All right, let's get back to this week's edition of Impact here on the PW Torch Livecast. Again, you can give us a call at 515-605-9345. We left off with the GFW women's title match. After that, they aired a quick backstage segment where Karen Jarrett said that next week Alicia Edwards would take on Angelina Love. And then there was some back and forth with Sienna, who is, of course, the new GFW Women's Champion. And then Ethan Carter III beat John Bowen in an enhancement match. It lasted about 2 minutes. He cut a promo afterwards where he essentially said that nothing was going to stop him from once again being the Impact World Champion at Slammiversary. I was a fan of the squash match. I'm a fan of squash matches. I know we've discussed this before. I like the match. I thought, you know, EC3 gets to go out, hit all of his moves, cut a nice little promo at the end of the match. I thought the segment was good, but it did sort of get me thinking that, you know, the world title scene is a little crowded right now. You have Matt Morgan, you have Alberto El Patron, you have Magnus. Eli Drake was sort of involved in it tonight, although he didn't win. You, of course, have Lashley, James Storm, EC3. All of these guys are sort of trying to position themselves to be in position for that world title match at Slammiversary. And they have some time to sort this out. I mean, Slammiversary is 2 months away. So they have some time to sort of let the dust settle and sort out some of these guys. But do you feel like the world title scene right now is a little overcrowded with the number of guys that are sort of in that mix? Or, you know, I don't think it's crowded, but I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing to have some of those names involved in your world title picture either.
Yeah, I could see that. I think just from my standpoint, I really enjoy that. I really like having a bunch of guys where you can picture like, oh, well, then who's the next challenger? Who's going to be after that? Who is getting momentum? Like if you watch WWE, basically you can kind of tell what's going to happen the next couple months because only like three or four people really matter at a time. So I think Impact is doing a good job with that because you can kind of realistically picture maybe like half a dozen guys in the main event of a show, which I think just kind of helps the overall show. And I'm with you. I think that was a strong squash match. EC3 just beat the crap out of that guy for a couple minutes, looked good. The other guy didn't get in any offense. So I'm really digging those in this new era.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I liked them in the summer. Last summer after the brand split in WWE where they did it a lot with Nia Jax and Braun Strowman, and I'm a fan of it here. You know, the WWE was using it to get over new talent, which I think you need to do, but you know, both in this match and then in the Congo Khan squash match that we'll talk about in a few minutes here, I just think that they go a long way in helping cement your guys. Gives them something to do on TV, and especially, you know what, like if they're in some type of main event or in a big match and they have to lose, you can have them lose clean, bring them back the next week, have them just totally destroy someone, and it sort of rebuilds them a little bit. You know, it doesn't, your last impression isn't them losing, it's them getting a pretty convincing win. During that match, they went to Matt Morgan against Magnus for the GFW World title, and Magnus retained in about 10 minutes after an elbow drop off the top rope, but that elbow drop was set up with a low blow from Magnus to Matt Morgan. What were your thoughts on this GFW title match here, which was sort of the middle main event? It was right at the 9 o'clock hour.
This is, I kind of mentioned it earlier. I wish they would have built this up more. Like I've always thought Matt Morgan was a pretty vastly underutilized wherever he went. I think he could be a pretty much close to a top four or five player in the company. So I wish they would have built that up more. I wish we would have seen Morgan in a series of squash matches because we haven't seen him in years. There's got to be people out there who have never seen him. So I think it would have been cool to see him run through half a dozen jobbers or so. I thought I didn't think Morgan looked great here. I thought he was fine, but I thought he just had a bit of ring rust. He just wasn't as fast and as spry as I remembered. But he's also like 40, and he's only wrestled, I think, maybe three or four matches in the past 2 years. So that's kind of what I thought. Did you kind of get that sense?
Yeah, you know what? I thought the same thing. I thought that it looked like there was some rust there. But like you said, you know, he hasn't been very active. You know, I think if this is a long-term thing that he's going to be involved with for a while, I think we're going to see some of that rust sort of shake off. But, yeah, no, I noticed some similar things. There were some spots where things looked like the timing just wasn't there. He's in really good shape. I mean, he looks great. He's always had a really great look. But, you know, it looked like there was some timing that was off in certain spots. But overall, you know, I sort of agree with you. I thought this was a good match. I wish they built it up more because it should have been – with these two guys, it should have been an important match. We've talked about, you know, the fact that the GFW title doesn't really mean anything. But I like that they're going with Magnus as a heel. You know, they brought him back as a babyface, and they had to, because when you see a guy like that return, the crowd's going to want to cheer. But they're clearly sort of moving him in a heel direction right now, and I think it's why, you know, I like the fact that they turned EC3 late a couple of weeks ago as well. That heel side of their roster is a little thin. And I think that Magnus and EC3 and Bobby Lashley being guys that are at the top of your heel roster, that's a pretty good three. And, you know, you got to deal with someone like Eli Drake, who's just a notch below and working his way up and is probably going to be in that top tier within the next year or so too. I think they're, we're starting to see some of that movement, I think, and them setting up their roster. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago how it still felt like they're sort of shaking out their roster and getting things set the way they want it. There was a lot of pieces about tonight's show where it felt like they're finally starting to get guys into those slots of where they're going to be. And this was, I think, a pretty good example of that.
Yeah, you're right. Because until this week, I wasn't sure exactly where they were headed with Magnus. He was coming off a bit cocky, a bit heelish with Alberto El Patron. I think it was last week, maybe the week before, but they kind of solidified it, which I don't think is a bad move. I think he works either way. He's just got like a cockiness that I think works well for a heel, though, at this time.
After that, they hit a couple of backstage segments. Lashley had an interview with Mackenzie Mitchell. He said what I think a lot of us have been thinking, and that, you know, a lot of these guys could fight over the GFW title, but the Impact title is the one that actually means something, which we've already talked about. This is one of the few times where they went to ringside and Jeremy Borash was behind Josh Matthews and holding up signs and sort of heckling him throughout the night. They aired a video on LAX. Conan said that next week they're going to hold a funeral for Decay. Then they aired a video on Rockstar Spud. He was shown rehabbing from the attack from Swoggle on last week's show. They showed him in a wheelchair. They showed him in a neck brace. They showed him trying to get out with a cane. One of the things, though, and this was something I wanted to talk about because it really stood out to me, and maybe I'm being too sensitive to this. I don't know. But they showed clips of him taking pills. And he even mentioned, again, this was supposed to be a comedy segment. I want to get that out and mention that at first here. They showed him taking pills. Bud had a line that he needs to take 4 painkillers just to get up and go to the bathroom in the morning. And the whole thing was, again, supposed to be a comedy thing because, I mean, Hornswoggle is the one that beat him up. But it just felt, it just felt uncomfortable. And, you know, I don't know, there's... Pain pills is a problem in pro wrestling. It's a problem, you know, in elsewhere, not just in pro wrestling. But it just seemed uncomfortable watching a wrestler, you know, literally throw pain pills in their mouth on the television show. And again, maybe I'm being too sensitive about it, but it made me feel really uncomfortable. I just thought it was a weird – I think you could have done the same segment without that part of it, especially considering, I mean, there have been wrestlers who have lost their life because of addictions to pain medications and things like that.
Yes. So when I was watching this, I think I was posting something on PW Podcast, or so I missed like the first 30 seconds. So I did miss that line. I'll admit at the moment I got a good laugh out of it. And then I went on Twitter and I saw your tweet about that. So I didn't catch the pain pill line, so that completely changed my mind on that, because at first I loved it. I hated this whole feud, but for some reason it got a laugh out of me. But yeah, like thinking about that.
Yeah,
there's just, I mean,
just,
there's
just
so many wrestlers. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it was the first thing that crossed my mind when I saw it, and I was like, you know, it's just, I didn't think it was terrible, you know, I'm not going to tell you that it dragged down the whole show for me or anything like that. It was a brief little thing. It was 1 second, and it just made me feel uncomfortable, especially where, you know, it was part of a comedy, you know, little comedy skit. And it's like, well, I don't know if that's something you want to be joking about, you know, especially considering that there have been plenty of documented problems within the industry of people having issues with stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think we're about the same age, so I think, like, we grew up through, you know, our teen years through the Attitude Era, and, like, so many of those guys, you know, you'd hear every few weeks or every few months, one of them died from an overdose. So that's still something that, yeah, they should have just left that part of it out.
Yeah, like I said, it just made me sort of feel really uncomfortable. It was just weird. You know, I think they could have done the same thing without that line, without that little two-second clip of him – you know, throwing pills in his mouth, and it would have been fine. You still would have had the same thing. And I thought it was good. You know, they're actually following up with something that I thought was, which is something that sometimes, you know, you have a quick little thing like that where somebody gets beat up and it goes away. But they're doing something with Rockstar Spud. I'm a fan. I think I've mentioned this. I'm a fan of Rockstar Spud. I think he's been underutilized, and I'm glad they're going to do something with him here. I just hope they put him in a more serious spot on the show here at some point. We have to go to our next break, and then we'll finish wrapping up the show, and we'll get to your phone calls. We got a couple people on hold on already at 515-605-9345. Before we go to our second break, it's our second trivia question, which is, which on-air authority figure brought Eddie Edwards into the company? We're going to find out the answer to that from Andrew. We'll get finish wrapping up this week's episode of Impact, and then we'll get to your phone calls right here on the PW Torch Livecast Impact Post Show.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch Livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
All right, back here at the PW Torch Livecast. Andrew, which authority figure brought Eddie Edwards into what was TNA at the time?
This is probably one of the easier trivia questions, but that man was MVP. He started out pretty well, that feud, or when he came into the company, and then eventually he turned heel and started feuding with a heel, Dixie Carter, and I think it's probably one of the worst things they've ever done.
And, of course, he was one of many people that had some, I think, contractual issues with the previous ownership as well. A lot of guys seem to have those issues with the previous regime. I think most guys did, actually.
Yeah, for sure.
We've only got a couple things left to wrap up on this week's edition of the Impact Show. And then we're going to get to your phone calls at 515-605-9345. We left off with Kongo Kong. He came up in another enhancement match, squash match, whatever you want to call it. He beat William Weeks, who is my favorite enhancement talent, right up there with James Ellsworth, in just about 2 minutes. Well, if you haven't seen William Weeks and you've got the show sitting on your DVR, make sure you check out Kongo Kong against William Weeks. William Weeks was about 130 pounds. Had on a T-shirt, just literally looked like a guy that they pulled out of the crowd. And he got destroyed by Kongo Kong. At one point, hit a clothesline that I thought was going to take William Weeks' head off, and then hit three choke slams. Hit that move where it's like a choke slam into a backbreaker, which literally looked like it was going to snap William Weeks in half. And then he splashed him for the win, but... sort of like with the EC3 match, Andrew, I thought this was great. You know, it gets over the fact that Kongo Kong is a monster and a killer, and I thought really got him over as a heel because he could have won the match in about 30 seconds, but he kept picking him up for another clothesline into the, another choke slam into the backbreaker, and really just wanted to. It looked like he wanted to break William Weeks in half. I thought this was a really good way to get him over as a monster.
Agree completely. This was the best squash match, I think, on TV since James Ellsworth, original Braun Strowman slain. I loved it. He looked just way, way, way out of his element. You knew he was going to get killed. And I don't know about you, but I'm still digging Laurel Van Ness and just her craziness and how she started that fight. Yeah, and how she got up on the turnbuckle and was just taunting. Like, I don't know why. It's not getting tiring for me. I'm very entertained by their pairing at the moment.
Yeah, me too. I think she's been great, really, since the actual wedding angle, you know, when they actually showed it on TV was just terrible. Since then, you know, this whole gimmick of her coming out still in the wedding dress and just being this crazy. Oh, it's been fantastic. And it's been a lot of fun too, you know, and I think she's sort of coming into her own with it. You know, I don't know if she feels more comfortable with it or what, but it's been one of the most entertaining things in the show, I think, for me the last month or so.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. Are we still getting to KM or did we skip over that?
Oh, you know what? I skipped over that. That happened right. They had a backstage segment with KM right before the Sienna match where he was, I think he was doing sit-ups, and someone came in and swept up some trash on the ground. And then KM ripped a piece of paper out of a notebook and threw it on the ground and told the guy to come back and sweep it up. And he did. And then again, he whipped out a piece of paper and threw it on the ground and told the guy to come back and pick it up. And the guy said that it wasn't there 10 seconds ago. And KM got up and asked if the guy was calling him a liar. And, of course, this guy went, no, you know, no, sir, and swept it up and was on his way. But it was I got a kick out of that, too. I thought that was a really good backstage segment with KM. And his character, I don't know about you, I don't know if you're a Back to the Future fan, but it's reminding me a lot of Biff from Back to the Future. Just a big, mean bully.
Oh, yes. So last week I gave that a miss. I didn't know what they were going for. But for some reason this connected with me this week, and I got a good laugh out of it. So right now I'm enjoying three of the four people in this stable. Sienna, I think, still needs to find something, but Kongo Kong, Laurel Van Ness, and KM are all doing pretty well at the moment.
Yeah, I like, you know, even, I don't know if this is actually what he's going for, if they're going to, you know, try to draw things from that Biff character in those Back to the Future movies, but he even said a line that because he sort of looks like him, first of all. Like, he kind of looks like him, and then he even had a line that was, you know, famous from one of those movies. I think towards the end, we told the janitor guy, the guy that was sweeping up the trash, to make like a tree and get out of here, which, you know, is the line that Biff would always mess up in those movies. So I have to imagine that I can't imagine that's an accident. You know, I got to imagine that's what they're going for, but I got a kick out of it. I thought it was great. After the Kongo Kong match, Braxton Sutter came out and attacked Kongo Kong. I still thought they kept him strong though. You know, Braxton Sutter got some offense and ends up clotheslining Kongo Kong over the top rope, but Kong lands on his feet, and then Laurel Van Ness sort of calls him off and makes sure he goes to the back. So even with the little post-match thing where Braxton Sutter came out and looked pretty good, you know, was the first one that really has landed any offense on Kongo Kong, I didn't think it hurt Kong at all. I thought that it actually you know, still made him look strong, especially when he landed on his feet going over the top rope in the clothesline.
Yeah, I think I agree. I hate it when monster heels are taken down too quickly, but having him being called off is fine. And also, Braxton Sutter kind of needs something because he's been looking kind of foolish the past few weeks. He hasn't gotten anything. So it gives him a little bit in order to extend this feud.
Yeah, I thought it was actually, you know, I thought it two things in that it gave Sutter something, like you said, but at the same time, it didn't hurt Kong. So I mean, I thought it was good. After that, they actually aired a video on Sanjay Dutt from 2 weeks ago. Well, they aired a lot of clips from 2 weeks ago in that X Division six-way where Low-Ki won the title, but they really played up Sanjay Dutt's eye. If you remember, it was swollen shut bad, and he had like a golf ball size, you know, bump on his eye, and it was completely swollen shut. But I thought they aired what was a really good video, and it seems like they're going to try to make a little bit of an angle out of this Low-Ki, between Low-Ki and Sanjay Dutt. You know, I think Sanjay at one point in that video said he's not sure if Low-Ki, you know, hurt him on purpose, but they played up the injury. They showed him getting the eye cut open, which was kind of gross, but they played up the injury, and it looks like they're going to make something out of it, which I thought was smart, you know, capitalize. Even if it wasn't planned, it happened, and it's an opportunity to capitalize on something.
I generally really like these videos. For someone, this one didn't quite connect with me. I think it's like Sanjay, I mean, he hurt his eye, but it's not like he broke his neck or broke his arm or something. Like, he'll be back in a couple of weeks, and it made it sound like, oh, I think I got to retire from this. I don't know if I should come back. It just seemed a little bit too much for me. But overall, I am enjoying these segments in the show.
They did get very dramatic with it. Yeah, no, I agree too. They did get very dramatic with, it almost, I think, I don't know if he said, you know, he wasn't, no, I think he did say he wasn't sure if he'd be able to come back from it, which I was like, well, you know, just, his eye didn't fall out. I think they're just trying to play up what eventually is going to be a match between Loki and Sanjay Dutt for that X Division title. Then from there, they went to the main event. Alberto El Patron and Eli Drake had what I thought was a really good match to determine the number one contender for the GFW title. Again, the GFW title doesn't really mean anything. I don't understand why El Patron, who was the number one contender, was so eager to put that at stake in this match. He volunteered it earlier in the night in a backstage segment with Bruce Pritchard and Eli Drake. Eli Drake said he wanted to fight somebody, you know, at the top of the card, and El Patron said, okay, you know, you can fight me. And then without being asked, he just put the number one contendership on the line. But he does win this match, and he retains that number one contendership in what I thought was a pretty good main event.
Yeah, I enjoyed this as well. I think Eli Drake had a great night overall. He had a segment earlier in the show where he cut a promo on Bruce Pritchard, and I thought that was entertaining. His match was pretty good. A little sloppy at parts. I think he went for like a moonsault and biffed it, and then he went for it again, which was just kind of awkward. But overall, it feels like he almost belongs. He still needs a few more wins to really feel like a main eventer. But I think overall it was a good move. It was a good start in that direction, and I'm hoping within the next few months he legitimately feels like a true main eventer in that company, because he's a talented guy.
Yeah, you know, I said it earlier. I think he's heading in that direction. I think it's a matter of, at this point, I think it's a matter of when and not if he gets there. I think back, even when we first started doing this show, you know, back in January, there was still a little bit of, you know, we'll see if he can get to that next level. He's an entertaining guy, but we'll see if he can get there. I think over the last few months, it's been pretty well determined that, you know, he stays on this path, he's going to get there. It's just a matter of when at this point. And, you know, I'm excited to see what they do with him in the next coming months. And you know what? He's so entertaining on the mic, and he cuts such good promos. He's good as a heel, and I like him as a heel, and I don't want them to turn him yet. But when they do and they make him a babyface, I think he's going to really, really get over as a strong babyface, because I think he's going to get to the point where his promos are so entertaining, people are going to want to cheer him. They're going to want to like him. And that's going to make him, I think, a really good babyface down the line.
Yeah. I think he could be one of their top guys as a babyface. If they do it right, sometimes when he'll say like The Miz a couple of years ago, he was really good, and then they turned him heel, or they turned him face, and it was just awful. Sometimes that just happens where an entertaining heel just can't quite translate. They become a cornball and they lose some of that edge. But if he can keep it, then yes, I think he's got a lot of potential and should be a major player in that company within the next couple of years, or for the next couple of years.
Absolutely. All right, well, we got to hit one more break, and we're going to do that now, and then we're going to get to the phones at 515-605-9345. 515-605-9345. So if you're on hold, stay there for just another couple of seconds, and we're going to start getting the phone calls right on the other side of this break. You are listening to the PW Torch Livecast Impact Post Show.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch Livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon. When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you.
right, let's get to your phone calls at 515-605-9345 here on the PW Torch Livecast Info Show. Our first caller this week, I think this is Vinny. Vinny, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, guys. Yes, Vinny. How's it going tonight?
Not bad, are you?
Good. Good to hear. Glad I got a hold of you guys. I've been trying a few weeks back, but been tied up. I just want to make a few comments, and then I want to pitch something to y'all as a possible Slammiversary, I guess, idea. Look, I know y'all been hard on Josh Matthews, right? I know that everybody's hating him. They want him to go away. I think right now he is probably the most obnoxious heel in wrestling. I've enjoyed a lot of the stuff that he's doing. I can see where you guys are coming from, though, as far as it being kind of go-away heat. But I really think he's getting under the skin of a lot of people. And hopefully with that, whatever they do with him, maybe with Slammiversary, we'll get a big payoff from it. I just want to throw that out there. I've thought he's been pretty funny by being obnoxious. I might be the exception to the hate of Josh Matthews, but I've been enjoying it. I think it's pretty funny.
I don't necessarily disagree with you. I think that right now, and Andrew and I have talked about this. I think him in a manager type role where he's somebody's mouthpiece would be really, really good. I think if you shorten up that window and not make it something that you're exposing the audience to for a 2 hour period, but if you do it for a 10 minute period or a 15 minute period, or he cuts a promo, I think he could be really, really effective in a role like that, especially right now, because I think people are I don't disagree with you. People are looking at him as one of the top, you know, quote unquote heels on the show, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when they first started the angle, I hated it. But over the last few weeks, it's just been like, so for instance, my wife, she's a very casual fan, okay? And she'll pop in and watch it here and there when I've caught it. And she's never told me, other than Bully Ray through a stretch of time, I hate that guy. I want to see him get his ass kicked. And she mentioned that last week, and I thought about it, and I said, that's a good point. I think you're right. I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, 10 to 15 minutes of promos rather than 2 hours of the craziness would be perfect. I definitely agree with you on that. One other thing I wanted to bring up is the GFW stipulation. I don't know if you guys have been on the website lately. I know a few weeks ago there was when they did the James Storm voting. Just to let you guys know, it was on the website. They actually did a poll for the number one contender before the James Storm match. Yeah, they promoted for it the week beforehand.
That's good to know.
Yeah. I was gonna hit you up on Twitter, I can tell you, but I forgot about it. But yeah, they actually did a poll. But it seems like in the articles with this GFW stuff, I don't know if you guys have caught it, but it seems like the story behind it is, okay, GFW, we know it's Jeff Jarrett's company, but these champions have kind of this golden ticket, quote unquote, and I think that's what they're trying to get to is like, okay, you know. The website makes it seem – it makes sense on the website, but on TV it's not translating. So I hope that maybe in the next few weeks they can make it make sense. You know, I was thinking do a video package or something and say, hey, just be up front. Hey, Jeff Jarrett left, you know, in whatever, 2014, and he started his own company. And, you know, now that he's back, these guys want an opportunity. You know, and Impact's kind of the king of the mountain, and these are going to be the contenders. They just maybe do a video package and at least make it make sense to the TV audience. Because the website, it seems pretty logical. You know, I don't know if you guys have caught that.
You know, I don't know about you, Andrew. I haven't. I've read a couple of their stuff on the website. I haven't read all the stuff that's up there. I've read a couple, you know, previews, you know, before shows and things like that. But I'll have to check that out because, you know what, that makes some sense. Okay, you know, Jeff Jarrett's now running Impact. He had this other company, so these champions sort of are coming in with, you know, like you called it, a golden ticket type situation. That I wish that was explained a little bit more. That would make more sense to me than trying to put value on titles that I just don't think have a lot of the titles themselves don't have a lot of value. But Andrew, have you checked out the website at all and seen things like that?
I haven't seen those articles. Like you, I check it out before the show. I just kind of scroll through it, see if there's anything to note. I wish they would bring that to the show because they merged the companies. So there should have been some explanation as to why the title still exists then. Like, as of now, there isn't any end date. I'm assuming Slammiversary, they'll all get merged. But I think that should have been explained right away on TV. But it's good to know that at least somewhere they're trying to make sense of this.
I also wish, too, that they would promote the website a little bit more, especially now that it's up and functioning. I mean, I almost forget that it is. Because their website, up until about a month ago, whenever it was that it relaunched, it was so bad. I mean, there was nothing on the website. They didn't even have a roster listed on the website at one point. It was I don't know what happened, but it was terrible. So I think a lot of people probably, you know, if it was a destination bookmark for a lot of people and it was something that they had visited, you know, like maybe people visit WWE.com on any particular day or any given day, you know, people probably took it out of their rotation of, okay, this is a link that I'm going to click when I go through my bookmarks every morning. If they promoted that, you know, if they're putting up content like that on the website, I think it would be smart on television to make sure you promote that and try to get people to make sure they see it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I thought they've done a way better job with the site lately, and it hasn't been I'll probably get on it, you know, I think I usually get on Wednesdays and Thursdays just to kind of see and get a recap. But they've done a really good job with the articles. I know Josh has been writing – Josh Matthews has done some stuff on there, and I even think Mackenzie Mitchell has actually been writing some stuff. So they, you know, it makes sense when you read the article, but it's like, hey, you know, how many people really read the article? You know, more people are going to watch the TV show, so I hope they do something with it. And one of the last things I just wanted to kind of throw at you guys. So I know that I don't remember how long ago it was, but I know you guys were talking about, you know, during the show there was a lot of these insider terms and just kind of this wrestling jargon that's been going on. And I want to email Wade about this because I want to pick his brain on it. A lot of casual fans, and I've been talking with a lot of people who are getting back into wrestling, some with Impact, some with WWE. And, you know, when you search, you know, Impact Wrestling, or you search WWE, you search any company, you're getting sites like PW Torch and, you know, some of the big names. And I think that the casual fan now is the internet fan. And I don't know what you guys feel about it, but what do you think if Impact moving forward, you know, heading into the middle of the year and towards the end of the year, maybe not incorporating it there, but not hiding from it? Because I think WWE sometimes they try to make believe that, you know, the internet doesn't exist, or that if someone is popular here and there, it's not what the company feels is over, or, you know, one of the things that I've noticed lately is that a lot of casual fans, they're starting to watch it a little bit more and more, and they're getting hip to the websites. They're getting hip to kind of the news. As you know, everything's on the internet now. Do you think that there is any type of to make wrestling become more realistic? Do you think that they should incorporate that more, not over barely, but incorporate a little bit more? Because I think the casual fans are catching on to it.
So it's an interesting point, and I think that there's got to be a pretty defined line of where you'll go up to but not over. You know, like, for example, I think if you're going to bring up if somebody's contract is running out and they haven't re-signed and there's, you know, some sort of question about whether or not they're going to, you can make that part of your television show. I think that's a story that a sports fan is going to be able to recognize, because you see that in football, and you see that in the NBA, you see it in baseball, hockey, you see it across all other sports. You see it in MMA, you know, especially with Bellator making some plays or some of the UFC guys, you know, this guy's contract's up. Where's he going to sign? I think stuff like that works. You know, what I, and this might even be going against a little bit what you're talking about. What worries me is getting too much into what, like, Vince Russo was doing in WCW in 1999 and 2000, when they were going out of their way to tell you this isn't part of the script, when anybody that knew what they were talking about knew that it was actually part of the script. You know, I'd like to see them avoid, you know, talking about the insider terms like that. But in terms of getting more realistic and talk, just, you know, if something happens, acknowledge it. You know, sort of like with the Sanjay Dutt thing. His eye got busted. Acknowledge it. Make it part of the show.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. I'm all for stuff like that. I mean, because like I said, people aren't stupid. They know. And I do think you need to listen to your audience and especially on the babyface side, push the people that the audience wants you to push. That's what's going to draw people to your show. Andrew, how do you feel about something like this? I mean, in terms of incorporating reality, is there a smart way to do it? And is it possible that you could do it too much? Is there a line that they need to sort of keep in mind if they're going to do something like that?
Yeah, it's an interesting point because, like the caller said, most of the fans now are the hardcore ones. I mean, Raw's ratings just dipped under 2.0. A lot of the people that are watching know what a mark is and kayfabe is and all that stuff. But my worry is exactly what you said, Vince Russo. It kind of popped into my mind. So it's hard to do two different worlds like that. One where, like, people are trying to fight and win titles, and that's all real. But then you're also saying, well, there's also this whole other world behind it where, you know, people get pushes because of playing politics and stuff like that. So you have to be very careful with how you do that. As we saw with, like, CM Punk's pipe bomb promo, that spoke to a lot of people. So it can be done, but it just has to be done really carefully and thought out really well, I would say.
Yeah,
you know, there have been other examples, too, of companies that have done a good job with that. You know, even, like, 20 years ago, like, look at WWF 20 years ago and what they did with Bret Hart. I mean, there was a big contract dispute going on then, and where was he going to sign? And they didn't shy away from it. And ECW never shied away from things like that. You know, guys didn't show up, and Paul Heyman would go to the ring and say, you know, Sabu decided he was going to work in Japan instead of coming to wrestle in front of you tonight, even though he told you and promised you he'd be here. You know, there's been plenty of examples of companies that have gone through and taken real life situations and just were honest with their fan base. And I'm fine. I would embrace something like that. I just don't want to see them go too much. I don't want to see it evolve too much into a reality show about what it is to make a wrestling show, if that makes any sense. You know, I'm fine with realism. I'd like to see a line drawn, though, where you don't get too much into the inner workings of how the show was produced. Give us the show, and you can incorporate reality into it, but you don't have to, you know, the magician doesn't have to show us all the magic tricks type of thing.
Yeah. Well, I definitely agree with you guys. It's just been very strange lately. It's just I've been interacting with casual fans, and you know, it's like they know so much crap. Like I got a friend of mine, and he just started watching wrestling again, and he even put me onto some news, and I was like, where are you getting this? Like, it's the internet, you know, and he's missing all these terms, and I'm like, I've been following it for a long time. I've been a VIP member for years, so it's like, you know, it's just strange. I just think that there's this missing link in wrestling that I don't think anybody's caught on to it yet, and I'm hoping that you know, they can incorporate some reality with it. Before I go, just real quick, I don't know if you guys have pitched it to Wade, but with Slammiversary coming up, I don't know who's going to do the roundtable, but it'd be nice to have you both on it, especially with you guys' history on it. So I'm going to try to get that in there for you guys and hit Wade up and say, hey, let these guys do it, because you guys do a good job, man. I really enjoy it. I'm a big Impact fan. I love WWE. I watch ROH. I really watch everything, but it's nice to have towards the end of the week, a little bit of Impact talk, because I think they deserve some talk, man. I really do. I know they've had some rough years and rough months, but it seems like they're doing some good things, and they should definitely get some acknowledgement. But thanks for taking my call, guys. You guys have a good week.
Thanks, Vinny. You
thanks.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slammiversary is. We got some time before Slammiversary. I know, Andrew, I was telling you earlier in the week, I am actually not – I already know, 2 months away. I am not going to be able to see Slammiversary live. I am going to be at a wedding that night. So I am going to have to find out another way to watch the show probably later on that evening, because I will be at a wedding during the actual show itself. But,
oh, man.
Yeah, no, I mean – they should, I think they should have a really good card for that show. You know, just considering the names that they've had back and the matches that I think we're going to see shake out. You know, though, Andrew, just thinking about Vinny's call too, and bringing reality back into things, a prime example of an area where they could have done it and they didn't, but maybe it would have been better if they did, the whole Hardy situation. I mean, everybody was talking about that. That was the biggest story in wrestling for a couple of weeks, even before they debuted at re-debuted at WrestleMania. You know, what would have been better, sort of acknowledging what was going on your television show, or having the drone apparently, you know, zap them somewhere into space and now they can never be found? You know, I almost think that would it have been better from, you know, would you have generated more buzz about your show? Would you have gotten more eyeballs? Everybody knew what was going on. I mean, everybody that there's 300,000 people or so. I mean, I think it was less last week up against the NFL draft, but there's on average about 300,000 people that are watching Impact on a weekly basis. Pretty much all 300,000 people knew what was going on at the time. So why not? I mean, in a situation like that, that's where I think you could be a little more reality based with it and just say what's happening. You know, I don't think that is necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that instance. I remember, too, like, I think if it makes sense within the terms of the storyline, and if it's going to leave a gap that you don't explain why people are gone, then go for it. I remember early in, when we started the show, like, arguing that Billy Corgan should have been written out in some way because he was on TV every week, and then he's just gone. Like, no other shows do that. No other shows, like, get away with that. They would lose their fan base if any other show had the inconsistency that professional wrestling does. So, yes, I think in certain occasions you should just be honest and just say, like, parties are gone, you know, make something of it.
And what's poor Aiden O'Shea doing right now? I mean, he was Billy Corgan's bodyguard. He's just roaming around Orlando looking for someone else to – another door to guard. I mean, this – but no, you're right. I mean, without any explanation at all. And that's where, you know, like you said, no other television show is going to get away with that. No other show that that isn't – and I'd say that isn't sport, but even sport wouldn't get away with that. I mean, if you're watching the NBA and a team fires their head coach – and it's never, I mean, of course it's going to be acknowledged. Of course they're going to talk about it. You're not just going to show up and turn on the TV one night and be like, huh, their head coach is gone. I wonder why. And not have it ever explained on the broadcast or not have it written about. Like, of course it would be explained. It would be ridiculous to have that just not be explained. So, I'm fine with things that are actually going on. You know, and again, not to get, no, you don't have to get too backstage and go, oh, well, we rewrote the show this week. Like, no, you have to keep it within the context of what your show is and present a narrative structure that is consistent. But I don't avoid reality at the same time.
Yes, agreed. That's a great point. With like a head coach or just like a player being gone or injured, you know, they would mention that. However, I also now feel bad for Aiden O'Shea. I mean, the guy was like, he was a wrestler, and then he disappeared for like 2 years, and then he comes back, and then he's there for a month, and now he's gone, and nobody even mentioned that he's gone. So I'm a little bummed out over it now.
I did see him on Twitter this week, though, make some comments about Billy Corgan buying the NWA, about, you know, hey, if you need a bodyguard, I'm still available, or something like that. Or no, I think he said, I think he tagged Billy Corgan in the tweet and said, hey, boss, so that's what you've been up to, which I did get a kick out.
That's awesome.
All right, let's take another quick timeout, and then we'll come back with the three things we liked about this episode of Impact, and then we'll wrap up the show. So Andrew and I will be back in just a minute. We're going to bring you the three things we liked about this edition of Impact. You're listening to the PW Torch Livecast Impact Post Show.
Do you love pro wrestling, Torch? Then we've got another show just for you, Ring Rust Radio.
Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest topics and news from around the wrestling world, including WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, TNA, Lucha Underground, New Japan, and indie wrestling. Edin interviews with the biggest names in the industry like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Paul Heyman, Kurt Angle, and many more. And Ring Rust Radio has something for everyone.
Check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at Ring Rust Radio and email us at ringrustradio@yahoo.com.
All right, back here in the PW Torch Livecast Impact Post Show. It's time for the three things that Andrew and I liked about this week's edition of Impact Wrestling. Andrew, what was the number three thing on your list of things you liked about this episode?
Sure. Well, overall, I'll just say I think this was probably like a top three episode in this new era. Overall, I enjoyed it. Of course, there's some bad things like Matthews and Borash, but overall, I enjoyed it. But my number three, I'm going to go with the random return of David Penzer. They didn't show him, but you could hear his voice, and of course, Matthews got very upset about it, but it's just like a personal choice. I remember him from my, you know, back in the Attitude Era over in WCW, just hearing him, so it was just kind of cool to hear him once again.
That was actually the number three thing on my list, too. No, I agree. I loved it. I read something a couple of weeks ago that he was going to be back on one of these episodes. I hope it's a long-term thing. You know, no offense to – I thought Rockstar Spud was fine in that role, but I'd rather see him as a wrestler. But, yeah, no, I agree. You know, as a guy who I remember watching as a teenager, I remember – you know, that voice, it's familiar. It's – if you've been a wrestling fan for a long time, you know David Penzer's voice. And I just – I think it's a good element to the show. I liked it. It made me, you know, brought me back to my youth a little bit. But I just thought that, you know, not only is he a good ring announcer, but there's something about a familiar voice like that where it makes, you know, if you were a fan of WCW in the 90s and, you know, even TNA back when he was originally with the company, it sort of makes things feel more important to me when you have a familiar voice like that guy who's called big matches. And who has, you know, made announcements for big matches in the past to be making announcements on a weekly basis make things feel more important and can make those big matches feel more important too, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I've been transcribing some interviews because he did some interviews with the Hannibal TV interviewing people at WrestleCon. So I've been listening to his voice a lot lately for PW Podcast, and he was just talking about how like much he missed the thrill of the crowd, I think, when he was talking to Justin Roberts. So it's cool that he got that opportunity to do that at least one more time, hopefully a few more times.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I don't know if he's local down there in the Florida area or not, but hopefully he's the ring announcer. I mean, now that Rockstar Spud is hurt, and now that hopefully that's not the angle. Hopefully it's not that he's just back because Spud is hurt. Hopefully, like I said, Spud goes back into some sort of wrestling role. That's how I'd like to see him used anyway. What was the number two thing on your list of three things you liked about this week's episode?
Number two, as much as I harp on this guy, I have given him a few hits here. Josh Matthews, during the Christina Von Erie versus Sienna match, he said, "We're going to have a new GFW champion," when Sienna hit her finisher. And then in my mind, it's like, oh, well, she's going to kick out because that's what Bradshaw, that's what every WWE announcer ever says, like, we're going to have a new champion. But she actually won the match after that line. So, good. Like, that's the obvious thing somebody would say. Like, we're going to have a new champ because she just hit her finisher. So I like that. It took me by surprise.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I agree. I know it's something that I've heard Wade talk about a lot in the past, too. You know, you hear Michael Cole say, that's it, he's done, or whatever, it's over. And then you, as soon as you hear that, you're just sort of programmed to know it's not over because it never is. So, no, I agree. And like you said, guy, you know, or in this case, a girl hit her finisher. What did you expect? You know, that's the move that finishes matches. So the number two thing I had was, and I talked about him earlier, William Weeks. I thought this guy was fantastic. I thought his whole look was fantastic. I hope he's back. You know, James Ellsworth has made a little bit of a run here out of getting killed by Braun Strowman. You know, and he's still alive and kicking in WWE. I don't think William Weeks is going to have a long run, but you know what? I wouldn't mind William Weeks back on the show, getting his butt kicked again at some point, because I just thought I thought he looks he looked like what you want your enhancement guys to look like.
Completely agree. This was that almost made my list. Yes, I hope they learn from the lesson of James Ellsworth of too much is way, way, way too much. Just, but yeah, if he shows up now and then every couple months for a squash or for some sort of battle royal, I would love it. That'd be great.
What was the number one thing you had on your list?
I don't feel so great about this one now because I wrote this down before reading everything and hearing everything about the Rockstar Spud Hornswoggle thing, but so I got a good laugh out of watching the second half and how it ended with Rockstar Spud saying, "Why me? I never meant to pull down his pants." It just cracked me up. The absurdity of a man being beaten with a hammer because he accidentally pulled down a man's pants who was messing with his hair on national TV. It was probably the hardest I've laughed in wrestling in it a month or two. But yes, now in retrospect, I don't know how I feel about it, but I wrote it down.
That is a great line. I actually had a backstage segment as my number one thing too, and it was KM's from earlier in the show, which I forgot to hit on during in the recap. But yeah, I got a good laugh out of that too. Sometimes those backstage segments, whether it's Impact or whether it's WWE, a lot of times they could be sort of a waste of time. But I thought that Impact did a really good job with them this week, whether it was the interview segments or the little vignettes like this. They all meant something. They all accomplished something. They were all entertaining. None of them just felt like they were killing time to try to, fill up an episode type of thing.
Yes, that was like I said before, last week I wasn't sure what they were doing. I didn't get it. But this week I'm on board. It made me laugh too, and I'm hoping they do a few more of these. And just overall, if nothing else, TNA or Impact, I'm sure I will do that for the next 5 years. But they've been doing a fantastic job just making these vignettes, giving characters little fun things to do. It's probably the best work production-wise they've maybe ever done in that realm. It's just a big step up from the past few eras.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's an important part of the show, too. It's not... Those are how you're going to go, especially at first. That's how you're going to establish your new characters. It's how you can further things, like with the Spud thing tonight. With KMs, I think it was establishing a little bit of who he was. With Spuds, it was furthering an issue. Those are important pieces, and you're right. They've done a really good job with them across the board, I would say, over the course of these first 4 months of the year. All right, well, we're going to throw now to our last break of the show, and then Andrew and I will be back to wrap up this edition of the PW Torch Livecast. This break is all about PW Torch VIP. You can go VIP at pwtorch.com/goVIP. And now, hear a little bit about the benefits of going VIP.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch Livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch Livecast, but also over 50 other VIP-exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP-exclusive podcasts, The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post-pay-per-view roundtables with the one-hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to pwtorchvip.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly, and also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/goVIP. That's pwtorch.com/goVIP. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. It takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/goVIP.
Cast Impact post show. Andrew, anything you want to add before we get out of here for this week?
Tomorrow on the Pro Wrestling Torch, I will have the hits and misses from Impact tonight, so check that out. Usually I'm more on the misses side of things, but I think tomorrow that'll probably switch a bit. And then I'll just plug PW Podcast one more time. Let's see, within the past couple days, I put up X-Pox podcast, The Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana, Jim Ross, Major League Wrestling. We watch wrestling with Matt McCarthy, Eric Bischoff, and I'm sure I will be putting up probably half a dozen more within the next couple days. Wade and I have been putting a lot of work into it, a lot of news on the site every day, quick quotes and news, so check back every day. There's a lot of stuff going on there.
Absolutely. That's PWPodcast.com. You can follow Andrew on Twitter at Andrew Socek. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike McMahon PW. You can listen to the PW Torch livecast 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week, depending upon if there is a pay-per-view. Bruce Mitchell and Rich Fan will be by with the primetime edition of the show tomorrow night. On Mondays, Wade Keller has the Raw post show. Wade is back on Tuesdays with the SmackDown post-show, both of those right when Raw and SmackDown go off the air. Wednesday is the midweek flagship. Thursday afternoons, Wade has Interview Thursday. And then on Thursday nights, right when Impact goes off the air, Andrew and I will be back with you on the PW Torch Livecast. So thank you, everybody, for listening this week. Thank you for calling. And until next week, for Andrew Socek, I am Mike McMahon. We will talk to you next time on the PW Torch Livecast Impact Post Show.